Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Scott, let me ask you this. In the first four paragraphs, in two of them are, well, three of them are just sentences, but we're counting them as paragraphs. Did you ever think you would use the words hiccup, vomit, puked, and gross in anything you ever wrote?
No. No, but I was a little proud of that headline, Jeff, so I'm glad you read that.
It was pretty good.
Thanks.
That was Mason Graham, the fifth overall pick in the draft, prompting some people on social media to say, what a slob, he's out of shape, he showed up not ready to go. I think he had some bad tuna myself. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Stefanski said he ate too much, you know, right before they practiced. He blamed it on that. Said ate too many wings. I do think there's a difference between, you know, being out of shape and something else causing you to vomit during rookie minicamp. And not to throw DeJuan Jones under the bus, but when that happened to DeJuan a couple of years ago, it looked different. Like, he was gassed. You could tell he was gassed. He was struggling through the drills. And then I went and watched Mason Graham after he had his incident, and he looked fine. He looked good going through these drills. So I think there was a difference. I don't think it was just him being out of shape.
All right, I know we're going to get to the quarterback extensively here in a second.
But we are?
Yeah, I'm sure we are.
Wow.
I got to tell you, when I saw that he had signed as a rookie coming in, I was like, I hope this kid gets a chance. And now it looks like the Browns are at least going to give him a chance. Luke Floria, the kid from Mentor in Kent State. I loved watching him in high school. I can't say I watched him a whole lot at Kent just to kind of just look at headlines. But and you wrote a little bit about him. I'm excited for this kid. I hope he gets shot.
Yeah, you know, he's an undersized guy, but, you know, that's a lot of the tryouts are. And he showed up, which isn't always easy to do at these rookie camps. He caught the one touchdown from Shadur in the red zone drill at the end of Saturday's practice. And I happened to be standing right there, so I got a video of it. It's on X of him coming right at me, and he gets both. It looks like he gets both feet down to me and makes this great catch. And it was one of the ones that stood out to the Browns. And Kevin Stefanski talked about him a little bit after practice Saturday. You know, if you show up and stand out a little bit, you got a chance, and he'll give himself a chance to stick around for the rest of the offseason, it looks like.
You think everyone around here is going to root for him. Plus, he's wearing Brian Brennan's number, so he's good to go.
Oh, you got to like that.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll go ahead and get to it right away. You have the third-round pick and the fifth-round pick, and the fifth-round pick's getting all the headlines and all the attention and everything else when clearly the Browns liked the other guy better. So let's start there. How'd Dylan Gabriel look in rookie minicamp to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think he looked pretty good. You know, he can't get past the height, and we've talked about that. And he's trying to get past the height, and the Browns obviously don't think it necessarily will keep him from being a successful NFL quarterback, or else they wouldn't have drafted him. So, but that sticks out. But from, you know, he throws it well. The ball comes out of his hand nice. It has a lot of spin on it. I thought he was pretty accurate, you know, watching his throws throughout the practices. I think there's a lot to like from him as a quarterback. I mean, highly productive. So when I watch him, I say, okay, he throws it well. Now, the question about the height can't be answered in rookie minicamp because there's not a whole lot of 11 on 11. When there is, you know, he's not going against a big-time defensive line. You can't tell about the pass rush and finding angles and those kinds of things. I think it's hard to do in this setting. So for the situation he was in, I thought he looked fine and looked good throwing it. But the question that lingers with him, it will have to be answered down the road.
Did Shedeur Sanders impress you more than Dylan Gabriel, or did both just look like rookies who have showed up to go through a rookie minicamp?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody had a significant edge. You know, I like Sanders coming out of the draft more than I like Gabriel. That didn't change over these two practices. They got to watch. He's bigger. Sanders is bigger and thicker. I think he throws it plenty well enough. You know, Gabriel throws a tighter spiral more consistently, I would say, than Sanders does. On some of those shorter passes, shorter and intermediate, but mostly shorter passes, Sanders can throw some wobblers, and you saw it at the Colorado Pro Day. Just watching on TV, you could see that. But he also threw some really good deep balls that he throws with enough zip on some of those intermediate passes. So I thought Sanders threw it well enough. I thought Gabriel threw it well enough. You know, if I were going to give it a slight edge, I'd probably go Sanders from the 2 days. But I don't think it was significant. I thought both looked like, just from a throwing standpoint, they both looked like they belong in the NFL.
What is that going to matter when the two veteran quarterbacks show up? How much of this is going to matter?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a good question, Andy. I think that's the baseline. And it's not the Browns didn't know it, right? They watched a ton of film. They saw both of the quarterbacks throw live, which Kevin Stefanski talked about again over the weekend, that's really important for him, is to see a quarterback throw live. And for me, this is the first time seeing both those guys. So I just kind of wanted to reaffirm it for myself. But, you know, they think both these guys can throw at an NFL level. I agree with them. Now, when you put them up against Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, it becomes, all right, can you read the defense quickly enough? Can you remember everything that goes into these complicated play calls and get guys lined up? When things break down, how do you react? You know, for Shedeur Sanders, it's, again, and this is going to be hard to tell, but it's, can you avoid sacks? Because he took so many at Colorado. I think it was 94 in the 2 years at Colorado. Can you avoid those? Can you think a half second quicker? Are you sudden enough in your movements, which is a question with Shedeur and why part of the reason he took so many sacks at Colorado? Can he quicken that up, the thinking and the movement? And for Gabriel, it's, okay, the bodies are going to be bigger. The lanes are going to be smaller. Can you navigate within all those giant bodies? And those are the two questions for those guys. And then when you see, compared to Pickett and Flacco, who've been around for a while, and Joe Flacco obviously has had so much success in this league, then you can see how big the gap will be. And maybe the kids can close it. Plenty of rookies do. But there certainly will be a gap when they take the field together, you know, this week.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram, BrownsZone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. You know, Scott, because of the fact that the Browns need a quarterback, and because of the fact that they took two, you know, because one of them has, you know, been in the headlines like absolute crazy, and the other one was wildly successful in college, I think people are misevaluating things. These guys were on the board in the third and the fifth round, and you might be able to get lucky, but that's what I think you'd be. I think you'd be lucky if one of these guys becomes your guy. And that's why I think, as Andy's talking about, when the veterans show up, it might be a different world for these guys.
Yeah, I think that's great kind of background for where we are with this quarterback competition. I do think there's significant ground to be made up. And you're right. These aren't first or second round picks. Now, where it gets a little fuzzy is, you know, Gabriel was so productive in college that while I think, you know, he was going to be around on the third day if the Browns didn't take him at 94, so I think it was a bit of a reach, you can make the argument that, hey, man, he threw for 18,000 yards and 155 touchdowns. Maybe he deserved to be a higher pick. And I think you can surely make that, even though the Browns didn't take him to the fifth round and passed on him multiple times. I think you can surely make the argument that Sanders deserved to be a higher pick. So that's why, that's one of the reasons why I think you can't just ignore them in this competition. The other is that Joe Flacco's 40 years old and Kenny Pickett's 15 and 14 in the league, or I think he's throwing 15 touchdowns and 14 interceptions in his, you know, couple of years in the league. And it's not like there's an established candidate. So it feels wide open. Even if these two rookie candidates might not be perfect, it feels like there is a chance to win this job.
All right, get me up to speed on the running backs.
On the who?
The running backs. Sorry about
that. Oh, running backs, yeah. Yeah. You know, you look at Quinshon Judkins, and he just looks like an NFL guy. You know, he stands out there. He's a big dude, and he moves his feet really well. I like another video, I happened to look, and Deuce Staley, the running backs coach, was having Junkins and Dylan Sampson go through this drill where it's kind of a shuffle through the bags and shuffle, and then they turn and run. So it's a little bit of a race in a short, short area. And the first one, Sampson gets his feet caught up and struggles, and Junkins wins. And then the second one, they both run it clean. And I think Junkins still wins a little bit, which shows you, because he's about 5 inches taller than Sampson, it shows you just the athleticism that Junkins has. Is he's able to, you know, he's at 6 feet, and, you know, I think Sampson's at 5'8", so it's 4 inches. But to have that much more size and be that quick in the short area shows you, I think, that there's a huge ceiling for Junkins. And I just like the idea of those two guys together. You know, you see the burst from Sampson. You know, I don't think they're completely different style backs. Like, I keep struggling with this idea. Are they really thunder and lightning? I'm not sure they are that different. I think there's some similarities, but there's enough differences that I think they will complement each other really well. I think if you needed Sampson to get 20 carries one game, he could handle that load. I don't think you want him doing that every game. But I think they're a really nice duo, and nothing that I saw this weekend made me think, oh man, these guys weren't the right picks, because I like the picks. And I liked how they looked this weekend.
What was your reaction to the Nick Chubb question last week that made it sound like he's done?
Yeah, to me it was, we knew this. You know, the writing had been on the wall since, I think Andrew Berry talked to us the day or 2 days after the season ended. And it was such a stark contrast from how he talked about Nick Chubb after 2023 is how he talked about him in January. And he immediately left the door open for Chubb not to come back. And then at the combine, we talked about it. And then, you know, his free agency starts and he doesn't re-sign with the Browns. And he doesn't re-sign with anybody, yet the Browns don't bring him back. Then they take two rookies and, you know, draft two rookies. And Andrew Berry says, yeah, you know, the complexion of our room changed. And then they restructure Jerome Ford's contract where now he's coming back and the money's guaranteed and he's taking less money to come back, but now, you know, the money's now guaranteed. So you know who three of your backs are. Nick Chubb is not coming back to Cleveland as a third or fourth running back. That just doesn't make any sense. So I think Andrew Berry just said kind of the quiet part out loud, but what everybody should have realized by now, the Browns roster is in a different position than it has been. They don't need a 29-year-old running back coming off injuries. You know, they're going younger. They're going cheaper. And I don't think Nick Chubb would want to be in that role as a third or fourth guy. Now, if somebody gets hurt, if Quinshon Judkins gets hurt and Nick Chubb's still available, okay, maybe that's how this reunion happens. But I think everything's been leading up to Nick Chubb not coming back.
I agree with exactly with what you just said. I can't imagine Nick wanting to go somewhere where he's clearly the third back. And he would be here, and people don't want to realize that, Scott.
I know, and I get it. Like, I get the love for Nick Chubb, and it's not only the fans.
It's deserved, too. He deserves it.
Yeah. It's that, right. It's everything. It's, he deserves better. The Browns love him. The fans love him. Like, I get that attachment. I also think there's a couple realities here, and one is the Browns are in a, you know, I don't want to call it a rebuild, and they're not calling it a rebuild, but the roster is going through significant changes, and we see that at running back, where you believe you can get cheaper and maybe even better. The second reality is Nick Chubb wasn't Nick Chubb last year. That doesn't mean he can't be again, but he wasn't last year. And I think this all just makes sense. Now, yes, in a perfect world, would Nick Chubb be here forever and never have gotten hurt? Yeah, but the circumstances have changed enough where I think just it's reality, and it makes sense that he should try to find somewhere else.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. What do you think of Dylan Sampson?
Yeah, I like him. You know, he's not the biggest guy. He's 5'8". But I talked to his running back coach at Tennessee last week, and, you know, I was like, you know, there's...
That was a good piece, by the way. I like that.
Well, and you read these, you know, you read these draft reports, and it's like, he's not powerful, but he is physical. I'm like, well, what's the difference there? And he said, he's not the kind of guy that can push a pile, but he'll break a tackle, and you can't tackle him one-on-one. So I think he has that physicality, that ability to, you know, make something out of nothing. And he also has the ability to turn a small play into a large game, right? He has that explosive. He's super quick, super productive at Tennessee, motivated because he wasn't a starter until last year. Then he's SEC Offensive Player of the Year. So I think there's a lot to like about him. And just watching him, he looks natural. He looks fluid. Saw him catching some passes out of the backfield. So, you know, if the Browns had not taken Junkins and only taken him, you know, then you would have questions. Okay, can he be your number one? But I would have been okay if he would have been the Browns running back coming out of this draft. And then you pair him with Judkins, and I think it has a chance to be a real home run.
All right, Scott, I want your reaction to this on your poll at Brown Zone with Scott Petrak. after a hot start, how many wins do you think the Browns will have a total? Is that from last year? Am I crazy?
That's about 6 years ago, Andy.
Okay, good. I got concerned there. I'm looking at this poll, and I'm like, wow, they're asking – 5-8 was the bottom, and I was like, wow, this is so optimistic. I love this.
Yeah.
But then again, 37% said 11. Off.
Yeah, I didn't know how to change it anymore. that was the start of the website whenever we did that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, well, so at least the Browns fans that are still voting out there are optimistic. How's that sound for you?
There you go.
Scott, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks,
Scott,
man.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com. Scott with outstanding coverage of Browns rookie minicamp. So you're going to want to go read that.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy right there is Andy Baskin.
I am. I'm still Andy Baskin.
I know, confused.
I just wanted to make sure it was okay.
Browns rookie minicamp. It's fun. You get these guys out there. You see a guy throw up. Everybody says he's out of shape. It's amazing.
Is that a story? Jeff, I'm just asking. Is that a story?
No. Social media went absolutely nuts.
Yeah, I don't know
Some
why.
Some national guy wrote, you know, I'm telling you, this is not the fifth pick. What a bust. Blah, blah, blah. He's out of shape. And then all these people on social media. How does Mason Graham show up out of shape and good to go? The guy had some bad fruit. Come on, man. I thought that was ridiculous.
I asked myself as I was reading the story, and I wasn't gonna ask. I was gonna ask Scott, and then I was like, we already moved forward in the conversation. Do you care? Do you care if your first pick threw up? Who cares, man?
No. Well,
working hard.
I've
seen plenty of. A top quality athlete have reverse peristalsis.
Nice. Look at you knowing all the specifics.
I don't know. I just kind of made it up. Peristalsis.
Well, I kind
of
like it.
Process of taking in food. So
nice.
Wouldn't reverse be the opposite?
Well, it is now, apparently, according to you.
Yes. Thank you.
So that works out great.
Thank you.
The focus.
I'm sorry. I got to leave. I'm going to med school.
The focus of rookie minicamp, fortunately or unfortunately, is on the two quarterbacks who were taken in rounds where you usually don't find your starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you could find your starting quarterback. You never know. I hope they get lucky. I hope they find two. Honestly, I don't have a horse in this race. All I want is a horse.
Okay.
I want somebody to show he's the starting quarterback, whoever that ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, it's Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. They're the rookies in minicamp and everything else. And they spoke with the media on Saturday. And these guys are, man, they're going to have such a spotlight on them, especially Shedeur Sanders, whether that's right or wrong, because he was taken four picks after Dorian Thompson-Robinson was taken, by the way. How'd DTR work out here? Just for whatever it's worth, Shedeur lasted till 144. DTR was the 140th pick. Just keep that in mind. Kind of interesting. But Dylan Gabriel is the guy who was taken in the third round by the Browns, so... You know, in theory, they like him more than Shedeur Sanders. For whatever reason, there it was. Dylan, not 6 foot tall. That's part of his issue. That's, you know, if the guy was 6'4", he probably would have been a first-round pick. He wasn't. Here's what he had to say about folks who have criticized him for many things throughout his entire career.
I have nothing to say to the critics. For me, everyone has an opinion and is right to have their own opinion and can speak and how they feel. But for me, like I said, I'm simple. I'm focused. I got goals I want to accomplish. I would not be here if I listened to other people. So for me, it's listening to the right people, coaches, getting better every single day. And controlling what you can is when you get in between those white lines, dominating the moment, maximizing the moment, being present.
Dude can't control that he's 5'11", Andy, on a good day.
Well, you could put him on a stretcher.
Didn't work for Gomez Adams.
Yeah, it didn't. You know, you're right.
You
did it work for Lurch, though?
John Aston never grew.
Did Lurch give it a shot?
I think Lurch turned the rack. Hmm. Gomez was on the rack. Didn't work for Dylan Gabriel.
Interesting.
This guy has been a short quarterback his entire career, and he's been wildly productive. Let's see if he maybe can do the same thing in the National Football League.
Okay.
Maybe he can. Maybe he can't. He obviously has critics. Shedeur Sanders has critics. Here's his approach to camp.
Like, my job here isn't to prove people wrong. I prove myself right. And I fully have self-belief. What those people say, that's just their opinion. So I don't truly care. They don't really live in my mental space about that type of stuff. It really doesn't do anything for me.
Good answer.
That was a great answer, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a really good answer. Yeah. Don't let them live between your ears, right?
Yeah, I thought that was really good. This kid so far, you know, just in everything we've seen about him, has handled everything pretty well. It's fascinating to me, though, Andy. And if you're Dylan Gabriel, you're just going to show up and work. Shedeur is showing up and doing the exact same thing. But the focus and the spotlight is on the guy who was in the fifth round as opposed to the guy who was in the third. Not that either guy, based on draft position, deserves a huge spotlight. But it's clear that Gabriel is the number two guy when it comes to perception in this race. Would you agree?
Yes. Perception, but it's
perception.
Yeah, I don't know that it's... Yeah, that's weird.
Perception is actually reality, a lot of people think, except in a situation like this. because reality is going to be determined by what they do on the field and what the coaches think of what they do on the field. And then, you know, whichever guy is better will be going up against Flacco and Kenny Pickett, and they'll figure out which guy is the number one overall. But I like the fact that they're going back and forth about it and working at it. Gabriel coming to Cleveland. Obviously, he's bounced around a little bit. He's three different colleges, UCF, Oklahoma, Oregon for a year. And then he ends up in Cleveland after extensive pre-draft meetings with the Browns. It kind of went under the radar because everybody was focused on Shedeur Sanders. Here's Gabriel on Cleveland.
This is definitely a place where I thrive, being able to get back in the building. And I think, you know, within 6 months of the draft process, you're kind of teamless. You know, a lot of time for you to build and grow individually. But this is where I thrive, being in a team environment. That's why you play the game of football.
He clearly has been a good team quarterback, Andy. And I mean that based on this. He doesn't seem to be the type of guy, say like Patrick Mahomes, say like Brett Favre, say like Josh Allen, say like Lamar Jackson, who this guy is going to create the plays. He seems like the kind of guy who's going to run the system and run it well. And that's where I think that's why he says this is where I can thrive.
I tend to agree with that. And if you think back to the reaction on draft day from your head coach, that seems to make sense. Yeah. Like if there's a path you're going to follow along this thing, that, you know, he's the guy that you probably thought, well, that's who your head coach wants. So why wouldn't you think exactly what you said? I agree with that. And I don't know. Is he a system quarterback? I don't know.
Those are nasty words, except guess what? System quarterbacks can do some good things in the NFL.
Well, if the system works and you win, I have no problem with it.
I agree. Sanders talking about competition when it comes to quarterback, but maybe going a little deeper picture.
I just feel like in life and everything, it's just me versus me. You know, I can't control any other decision besides that, so I just try to be my best self at all times.
Has to be, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, I respect what he's saying.
There's so much noise around him, it's silly.
Yeah, although some of it's,
brought on by...
No, a little bit. I don't know how much... Is it him or his dad? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's probably his dad.
And is it the byproduct
of... That's exactly the word I was going to use.
And like he said, I can't control that, so I'm going to do the best I can. And, you know, he had success in college. We talk about how, whether they wanted it to be this way or not, he put Colorado back on the map. I mean, his dad, him, I mean, they did some good things in Boulder. So I don't know how you can't not see the positive in his game, what his ability is. And I know you don't want to talk about the marketing value of it, but there is marketing value that goes along with it.
Dylan Gabriel, approach to what's going on here at camp and trying to win this job.
For me, you know, life of simplicity is a life full of, you know, focus. Life of, you know, complexity comes with life of distractions. But for me, I'm focused. I'm simple. I know what I want to accomplish.
Same thing.
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah. These guys are pretty deep. I mean.
Yeah. Doing a really nice job.
Yeah.
And then Shedeur Sanders with a thought that will make you think just a little bit.
That was it. My story is going to be similar. I was a late round draft pick, but we're here now, so none of that stuff matters. That just mattered on the day. And I'm just excited to be here and ready to work.
That was him talking about Tom Brady, guy who's helped him a little bit. He goes, my situation will be similar.
Oh,
my story will be similar. Oh, boy.
Well, if you're going to have
someone. We sure hope so, don't we?
If you have someone to look up to, why wouldn't that be the person?
I couldn't agree with you more on that. So that's what some of the young guys had to say out at rookie minicamp, and I can't wait. Let's see where these guys get going, because that's going to be fun. Rick Banning's going to join us coming up at noon. We're going to talk more Cavs during the show. In fact, we're going to talk more Cavs now. What's the one thing that has struck you about the Cavaliers losing three of the first four games to the Indiana Pacers? Think about that. Want your thoughts? Want Andy's thoughts? Next on Baskin and Phelps.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
The Cavs are down 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
I asked, what has struck you about this series so far? Is there something other than being down 3-1? And having, you know, two things big stick out. A, you blew a 21-point lead in game two.
Yep.
That's inexcusable. And yesterday's effort, completely inexcusable. I have no idea what happened yesterday. You know, were you so gassed from game three you couldn't bring it for game four? Well, sorry. You know, same thing with the Pacers in game three. Were you so gassed winning two in Cleveland you couldn't bring it in game three? It's the ebbs and flows, and I get all that. But those are two things that really strike me about this. They blew a 21-point lead, and then yesterday they just didn't show up.
It's the turnovers that are just killing me. They get down a little bit, and then they get overexcited, and the next thing you know, they're just coughing the ball up left and right. That's what's bothering me. And that, like, they can't settle into the ebb and flow of the game. And I think I brought that up a little bit earlier. But it's all right, you're down 10, you're down 12 in the first half. I get it. Understand it. But it's just, you know, 12 turnovers a game is not good. And you give the other team the opportunity to come back and just bludgeon you when you give up a silly turnover because you tried to over dribble. And the next thing you know, they work the ball back down the floor, and they're nailing a three. That's what happened last night. And the sloppiness, the just bad decisions. I know that some of that played into the regular season and the, you know, throwing up threes left and right, but they were able to do that throughout the regular season. I just think when you play the same team over and over and over again, the other team is going to figure it out. They're going to learn how to pressure you. Man, you know that the Pacers, you know, physically played with more physical ability. Out physicaled you. Yeah,
let's go with that.
All right,
it works.
You know, you can't just lay down. And I'm not saying that that's what they did, but I mean, it's like we went to the schoolyard and we're coming home black and blue with little bluebirds flying around our head after yesterday's game. Also, granted, I mean, their shooting percentage was off the hook in the first half. They weren't going to miss, and you got embarrassed in the second quarter. You did. You got to own that. You got to come back and figure this thing out in game five. Forget about 6 and 7. You better worry about 5. Otherwise, you're going to be, you know, having locker cleanout day.
One thing that really strikes me about it as well, and I don't think this is about Donovan Mitchell.
I don't either.
But it's this fact. in the first three games, and Donovan getting hurt yesterday, didn't play in the second half. If he's even remotely injured, don't play him in the second half. You're down 41 at halftime. Come on. So I don't have any qualms with that.
But I don't either. What really bothered me yesterday after the game, Jeff, just the people that were calling him out saying that he quit.
Yeah, I'm not buying that for a minute. No, neither am I. But it's this. One of my fears going into the series for the Cavs was, okay, all season long you really shared the ball and you moved it like crazy and nobody dominated shots. And for better or worse, whether he's had to or not had to, whether he's been asked to, whatever, Donovan so far in the series in the first three games took 30, 30, and 29 shots. Well, seven games this season, including the three playoff games here, the first three playoff games, Donovan took 27 or more shots. Okay, so it's only happened seven times that he's taken 27 or more shots. The Cavs' record in those seven games is 2-5.
It goes back to what we were saying at the beginning of the game. If you're banking on a guy to score 40 or more points a game for you to win, you're not winning. And you're definitely not winning a series.
It's not the way they played and were so successful this year. And again, playoffs are a different beast, except I think it's been real clear this team is better. And I know injuries had an aspect of that. I get that. You know, you're not going to even compete in some of these if he's not doing superhuman things. And so it's not him. I don't even know if it's the coaching, because you didn't have, you know, you didn't have Evan, you didn't have Darius, you didn't have DeAndre for one of the games, and Darius missed the first couple. Anyhow, the point is, when Donovan has to shoot a ton, it's not been a great recipe of success for this team. Jim is in Strongsville. Jim, welcome.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Listen, I mean, I hate the soft thing because I think it's stupid. It's basketball, not boxing. So
yeah, except the fact that they let him play that way during the playoffs. It's just a different game.
I agree with you, but I'll put it back on the Cavaliers and their confidence. Look, that's fine if you want to muscle up. It's the Cavaliers' job not to shrink away from that contact and force the officials to call fouls. They will do it if you force the action. You're letting them off the hook, just saying, like, well, there's not.
But the thing is, they weren't going to, like, even on the ejection yesterday, they weren't calling a foul for a punch in the sternum until he had to go out there and send him into the stands, or not stands, into the bench.
Andy, my point is the Cavaliers are getting this pressure. They got it from the very beginning of the game when Indiana picks them up full court and actually is kind of physical with the ball hit or bring him. What I'm saying is the Cavaliers, play in, play out, have shrunk away from that contact. You say they're not going to call it. I think that's ridiculous. If you force it and you're aggressive and confident, they are going to call that. You are going to get them fouled out.
Jim, would they have called the ejection yesterday if he hadn't gone out and pushed him? No. They weren't calling anything. They won't call it. They're calling a different game. They are, which is fine. You just got to know it going in. And you're right, Jim. I'm not going to argue with you. I think you're right. Like, you better be ready for it. You better get set to get smacked in the face and then have to go back out there and play hard. And they're not there. You're right. I'm not disagreeing.
Andy, I just think you can't. Like, to me, that's not a thing you're making. But that's an excuse. Well, they're just letting them play. Well, you know what? You're basketball players, too. The idea that these guys don't know how to handle physical play is ridiculous. They've been playing basketball since they could walk. So I just, that's my point. Like, you saw right off the bat, Darius brought the ball up, turned it over the first time with the
yes.
And guess who brought the ball up the rest of the time? Donovan Mitchell. You can't do that, Darius. You got to force them to foul you. You got to punish them for picking you up full court. It's a mental thing. These guys lack the confidence to get over this hump.
Jim, thank you very much. It's Jim in Strongsville. Lewis is in Shaker. Hi, Lewis. Welcome to the show.
I will agree with that last caller to a certain degree. It's not boxing, but it's still physical. Now, if you notice, when Indianapolis make their run, and they make runs, when they make their runs, they make it with physicalness and strength. And the Cavs cannot overcome that. It just seems they pick up full court. They bump us. They push us. They elbow us, whatever. And the Cavs don't respond. And they made a run yesterday, and the run just stayed the whole entire game. And to me, that's the problem right there. I mean, we're not physical, And they know, the league knows that Darius is not physical, and they beat Darius up. And one thing, Theodore, he was talking about how you know, the Cavs players are injured. And what do you want them to do to play? Yes, I want them to play. Get out there. I don't care if you limp up and down the court. And you got to come out. If the rest of the bench, your players see you giving an effort, like, man, Darius got a busted toe. He's giving an effort. They're going to pick up their game. Man, we just got to get with it mentally. We got to get mentally and physically.
Please, but, Lewis, please don't tell me you're mad that Donovan didn't play in the second half.
No, I'm not.
Okay,
I'm not
good.
Mad.
All right. I heard way too much of that yesterday. I was like, guys, it makes no sense to put him out there. He missed the end of the season. So we're on the same page. All right.
You know what? No, I'm not mad at Donovan because Donovan goes out there and he gives it 100% effort.
Yeah.
And we traded away Niang, who was somewhat of an enforcer. You know, somebody pushed, they pushed back. You notice when Hunter pushed whoever his name is, Maverick, down?
Yeah.
And Turner came over there and pushed him. How many Cavs came off the bench and pushed Turner back?
Well, you're not coming off the bench. You can't do it.
You can't. You get thrown out, Lewis.
I mean, Lewis, even in hockey, they know you can't come off the bench.
Yeah. Bill's in Parma. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I enjoy this discussion. But, you know, even when I was in junior high, we believed an eye for an eye. And I really am tired. And this series is over because we got manhandled and we did nothing about it. When Hunter got hurt, Hunter's been hurt by being manhandled by the other team, and Carlisle is such a coach. This is figured out. This is planned, and that push and that punch yesterday, that's planned. And why we didn't put in somebody that's Tristan Thompson? I'm not asking him to get called out of the game or thrown out of the game.
Why not? What's the difference if he gets thrown out? They don't really need him. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't have had any problem with it, other than the fact that the place would have been going crazy. But
Andy, I agree with you 100%. But I will tell you, Halliburton would have been going down. Halliburton would have been going down, and the fact that nothing was done told me this series is over. And also this Garland thing. Him, you know what? The lights go up, he goes out of sight. I don't care about his foot, his toe. I don't care about it's his brain. In his brain, for some reason, there were three errors at the start of the game yesterday. He was not at the game at the start. And this happens over and over again. And this is a $40 million a year player. And we are really handicapped by this guy. I was disappointed in how they handled everything. The series is over. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much. We're going to talk more Cavs coming up later in the show, and pretty quickly later in the show. Rick Manning from Guardians TV, however, coming up next. Anxious to talk to Rick. Sam Amico from Hoopswire talking Cavs, talking NBA with us coming up at 1 o'clock. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities.
and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.